Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Zach Harper from the Count the Dings podcast. It's got to be one of the best names of any podcast. And FanRag Sports, where he covers the NBA as well. Zach, it's a good job out of you. That's a good name, man. It really stands out.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I think that and Matt Miller's Stick to Football. Those are, I think, my two favorite names.
That's a great name. That's a better nickname.
Yeah, that is a really good one. All right, Zach, not panic time yet here in Cleveland, but it probably will be if the Cavs lose tonight. What are your expectations going into the series, and have they changed at all based on game one?
I expect it to be a struggle. You know, this isn't the Raptors. This is a team that, you know, no offense to the Raptors and Dwayne Casey, but this is a better coach team with, you know, they had the best defense in the league this year. And while the Raptors' defense is very good, they don't affect the three-point line the same way. And if the Cavs can't hit threes, they're in a lot of trouble. And so I don't think it's time to panic yet. This is a must-win for the Cavs tonight, because I think LeBron in his career is like 2-4 in playoff series when he goes down 0-2. And the one comeback, or, you know, the most recent comeback was 2016, which, you know, fantastic moment, great story, but that's kind of a fluke. And then the other one was like in 2007. So this isn't like a regular thing for LeBron to just come back from 0-2. And if they go down 0-2, I really worry about the rest of the psyche of the Cavs.
You think the Celtics are a better team than the Cavs?
Yes, but just because I think that they know, I think the talent is comparable. I mean, obviously LeBron is the talent in the series, right? And the Celtics are missing a lot, but they're a deeper team. They're a team that knows their identity, and they're a team that knows their system and buys in. And I think that makes them a better team. I think the whole time we still doubt Cleveland as like a national basketball audience. We just don't doubt LeBron. Like, we're really, like, when we pick Cleveland to win the series, we're just picking LeBron because he's that good.
Right.
Cleveland has been such a mess this season just from, I mean, what, they've had like four different seasons within this one season that you just don't know what to expect.
I think you're right on, Zach. It's such a weird dynamic because you don't really – there's no other team that you do that with, right? I mean, right. Every other team, it's about the team. For me, I look at the Cavs and I'm like, LeBron's so good. He's just better than everybody else. But the rest of the team, I think, is average at best.
Yeah, I mean, no one's picking the Bucks to make the finals this year, right?
Right.
Like, no one's seriously looking at the Bucks going, you know what, that's a finals team because Giannis is that good. Like, no, it's because LeBron is that good. And that actually shows the difference between – you know, LeBron and Giannis, which is, you know, it shouldn't be that crazy of a disparity, but there is. I mean, that's just how good LeBron is, that we will give him the benefit of the doubt, even though this defense has been, you know, a red carpet into the paint. Like, this, they don't stop three-pointers. They don't play cohesively on either end of the floor. It just seems like when LeBron gets going and someone like Kyle Korver or someone like Kevin Love or someone like George Hill or J.R. Smith, when they can supplement his production, then we're like, oh, right, they can make the finals. This is fine.
Zach, a lot of people talking about maybe making some lineup changes here. Tristan Thompson expected to probably start tonight, and maybe you go back, put Kyle Korver on the bench. Tristan expected to try and, you know, offset a little of what Al Horford brought in game one. You think it's a good move?
I don't hate the move just because, Tristan didn't have the impact we're used to seeing him with Horford in game one, because it's been so severe the last couple of years. But I think you have to hope that card is still there to play. So I think you hope that Tristan Thompson is such a monster on the boards that he's keeping. I mean, I think in their playoff career, I think Tristan Thompson has grabbed more offensive rebounds against Al Horford teams than Al Horford has grabbed total rebounds, right? So if you can keep those possessions alive against this defense, eventually you have to feel like they're going to crumble. I actually think maybe the move would be to move J.R. Smith to the bench, leave Kyle Korver in, because he's such a consistent threat moving without the ball, that I think I would like that element. You obviously lose something defensively, but I think you need to focus on offense right now against the Celtics defense.
Zach Harper is with us. Count the Dings is the podcast. Zach, when you look at the way or how much credit do you give Boston's defense for the Cavs' lack of offensive success in game one?
So this is kind of a tricky thing to figure out because the Cavs missed a lot of open threes. You look at the numbers, they missed a lot of open threes. They missed a lot of uncontested shots. And you can say, hey, they got their shots. They just didn't make them. If those fall in game two, completely different game. And I don't think that's necessarily wrong, but I think the way the Celtics play defense, I think a lot of those open shots were rushed because you are worried that they're going to recover. They recover to the three-point line while shading all those defenders towards LeBron, you know, better than just about any team. And it's impressive that they do it because they don't have a shot blocker inside to kind of protect them. The Utah Jazz do a great job of this, but they have Rudy Gobert inside, so you can trust that he's going to protect the paint. Boston has Al Horford and Aaron Baines. These aren't shot blockers. These aren't rim protectors. So the fact that they do that so well makes their defensive rotations even more impressive. But if the Cavs can just calm down a little bit on those open shots and not rush them, I think you'll see kind of a snowball effect in their favor where a couple of shots go down early. They don't get down, 23-8 or whatever it was in game one. And if you can put the pressure, if you can put the Celtics on their heels a little bit, then maybe we see some of that youth in that core show through and maybe they, not necessarily panic a little bit, but maybe they start rushing their rotations, rushing their offense.
Should we as Cavs fans be more into this draft lottery tonight or this game?
Probably the lottery. Now, I'm not someone who feels all that confident about LeBron returning, so to me it's about the next step with the lottery. So if they win the number one pick, then fantastic. Like that's a great night, even if they go down 0-2. But I mean, I don't know. If I'm right about this, and don't worry because I'm wrong a lot, but if I'm right about this, one of the few games left we have with LeBron in Cleveland, maybe you do want to concentrate on that and just appreciate it one more time.
Zach, I don't like you talking like this, man.
I know. I don't like it,
Zach.
This is not the station to talk like this. This is not the audience to do it. And I apologize for any ill will that is starting there. I recognize how much I'm shooting myself in the foot. But, again, I'm wrong a lot. So you can take solace in that.
Where do you think he's going and why?
That's the tricky part is trying to figure out where he's going to go. I think the Philly stuff's real, although I still think that core is a little younger than what he would want to join. I think Houston can do – like, Daryl Morey just finds a way to get into conversations with free agents he can't afford, clear cap space, and make it work. I think Houston could be a real threat, but they probably have to put up more of a fight in the Western Conference Finals than we saw in Game 1. Everyone still thinks, like – not everyone, but enough people still think this Lakers thing is real that I guess I'll consider it, but I just don't see why he would go to the Lakers.
Zach, in the end, I think, and you know more than I do, but I'm just guessing. But my suspicion is that he stays for a couple of reasons. Yeah, from a basketball perspective, I can't give a great argument, especially if they don't get a top three pick. But for the reasons the guy hates Dan Gilbert, hates him with a passion.
Right.
And yet
right.
He came back anyway because he wanted to be home. And part of, obviously they had Kyrie Irving at the time and whatever. But I think it is important for him to be home. And number two, it's the options out there, right? You mentioned it. I think Philly makes the most sense from a basketball perspective, but because it's the East and they're a really talented team, but they're young. The Rockets, that would be tough. And I think if he goes to the Rockets, I don't know if this matters, but I think it hurts his reputation. I don't think that would be the case if he goes to the Lakers, but they're kind of starting over. So I don't know that there's a great option of another place to go.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with all of that. I mean, I think you stay in the East no matter what. And maybe he just does another 1-1. Maybe, I don't think he's going to commit long-term to wherever he goes. I think he's going to always keep his options open because he's a smart businessman. So I think that's the case. The Lakers, if he's going to the Lakers, I got to assume that one, Paul George is going with him, and two, they have plans for, we're moving like three of these young guys for another star, right? And maybe that's Kawhi Leonard or why. I don't know who that would be. But you got to think, like, I don't think he's going to join this young core. Like, that's not going to happen. But if he goes to the Rockets, the reason I don't think he takes a hit PR-wise is because it is clearly to take down the Warriors. And that is what this entire league has become at this point. How do you stop this Warriors juggernaut? Because they're going to win another title. Like, I'm not buying the Rockets in this series. They're going to win another title. They're going to look like they're going to dominate the league for years. So if that's the case and everything is to go defeat the Warriors, that's the reason I think that PR hit doesn't happen for him.
We're talking with Zach Harper from the Count the Dings podcast, FanRag Sports. Zach, you mentioned the Warriors there. I'm with you. I picked the Warriors in five in the series, and obviously I feel even better about it after they beat Houston last night. Can anybody, like, what's – do you think anybody can even win two games against them?
It won't be anything about what that team does, and it'll be about what the Warriors do. Because the Warriors are – they weren't last night, but they're very sloppy with the ball. They're turnover prone. I mean, you guys saw that in the finals in 2016. They're still turnover prone. So they can kind of shoot themselves in the foot. And then every once in a while, they're just like, we got our game in Houston. Maybe we'll be good with that, and we'll let Houston win game two. And then if that happens, if Houston gets hot from three for another game, then, yeah, maybe they can win two. But I think it's all about their focus. If they're focused, if they're locked in, I don't think anyone can play with them.
I watched that game last night, the Rockets-Warriors game, as did basically everyone in the country, because it was the highest-rated game, Western Conference game on TNT ever. Pretty impressive, actually. Draymond Green, this guy, man, I'm telling you what, he gets away with more smack talk and trash talk to the officials and all this stuff. Like, I thought he should have been ejected last night, but he wasn't.
Because there were a lot of times he was yelling at an official.
Zach, I thought after the PJ Tucker foul, when he gets up and he's MFing the ref, like, yeah. I'm like, he's got to go. But he already had one technical, so they obviously graded it a little bit differently. Yeah.
Well, and, I mean, he had that – I thought it was a horrible call against him where he set that screen in the middle of the floor at half court on Trevor Ariza. I didn't think that was the illegal screen. I thought that was a good screen, and they called a foul on him, and he reacted similar to that P.J. Tucker foul. Where the P.J. Tucker foul, he actually fouled him. I don't know what he was complaining about. But that foul against Trevor Ariza, throws the fifth, starts MFing this and just going up and down the court, and it is – it does. You know, I don't mind them protecting big players in big games. Like, I'm okay with that. I know it's hypocritical, but I don't really care. I want to see the best product and the best game. But it does make me remember of, like, wasn't it like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, where they're like, oh, by the way, we've got integrity of the game. We've got respect for the game. No more yelling at the refs. And that happened for like a month, and they gave out a bunch of technicals, and then they were kind of just like, all right, we're good on that. You guys learned your lesson. Why did that go away? It's the same with the flopping penalties, the flop warnings and all that. That was such a big thing. When is the last time you remember a flop warning? When we didn't get a memo that, like, okay, we're done with this. They just stopped giving out the flop warning.
Now, you're right. The flopping stinks. But it's not – Draymond may be more animated than most, but all the players, especially the star players, whine about every single call.
Look at Chris Paul, right? I mean, Chris Paul is doing, the same thing. He's just smaller than Draymond.
Yeah.
Doing the exact same stuff.
Right. It's so irritating. I'll tell you something else that I can't stand that's going on in the NBA a lot. I don't remember – maybe it's revisionist history. I don't remember this happening when I was a kid. But especially on three-pointers, Zach, when these guys see the guy coming and they jump into the defender to draw the foul, and it's almost always called a foul. I hate that rule.
So that's the number one thing I would like the NBA and the officials to work on this offseason is, and Kevin Love does it.
Oh, Kevin Love does it the most. Yeah.
It's just like, no one jumps to the side to shoot a three-pointer unless they're fading out of bounds, trying to beat a clock or something. So if you are jumping into the defender to the side or unnaturally forward, it's either got to be a no call or an offensive foul. And I don't care which one they decide. I really don't care. Whatever takes that away and starts turning those into missed shots and turnovers, I'm good with, because that makes, flopping on defense, yelling at the refs, all that stuff, the travel stuff, like, I don't care about that. I don't want to see these bailout unnatural motions.
Yeah.
Get rewarded, because to me, and I'm a huge basketball nerd, I love this game more than anything. I get tired of seeing that.
Yeah, it's awful. I think it's the worst thing in the game right now. We're talking with Zach Harper from the Count the Dings podcast, FanRag Sports. Zach, do you think there's been talk this year about the possibility of getting rid of the conferences in terms of playoff seeding? Do you think that's a good idea?
I don't think it's a bad idea. I think it adds some interest and some weight to the playoffs, but how do you get the Eastern Conference owners to agree to this?
Yeah.
Right? Like, Detroit's never going to make a playoff again if this happens. Like, Miami may not make a playoff again if this happens. How do you convince the East owners to say, yep, we're good on this, because there is such a disparity in the West? I don't think it's likely, but I do like the idea, and I do like that they're willing to consider it.
You know what could be a good compromise, Zach? If you still go East-West, say the top eight teams from both conferences make it, but then you seed 1 through 16 from that point.
Yeah, I would be totally fine with that. I think, you know, if you get a better NBA final product, and we've had a good one the last couple of years. Well, last year wasn't so good, but the two previous years, we had really good ones. But if you get a better, consistent matchup in the finals every year, that's what I want to see.
Zach, we appreciate the time, man. Oh, well, before we go, are you still picking the Cavs to win the series or no?
Yeah, I'll go. I had Cavs in six before. I'll stick with Cavs in six.
Very good.
I will feel very differently if they lose tonight, but I'll go Cavs in six.
All right. We appreciate it, Zach.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.